here because today's lesson is one of my favorites that we've had. And I want you to really let it sink in your heart today, what we're going to be talking about. In a lot of ways, I'm just going to be introducing our lesson. I'm going to run out of time, so we're going to have to finish it next week. But I didn't want to skimp on the introduction because there was a lot I wanted to say to lay the foundation. So I'm glad you're here. And then next week, we'll get the real lesson. But you're here for the foundation, which I think is important. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we're going to jump right in this morning. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for the blessing of the holiday. Our hearts are thankful and grateful this morning for so many blessings. Just the blessing of coming in here and sitting around tables and handling your word together is so amazing. And wise women are women who know your word, who obey your word. And this morning we've come and, you know, what I think makes no difference, but what your word says is incredibly important. And so give us hearts to hear this morning what your word is speaking into our life. And then, Father, help us to believe what we're hearing, because what we're going to hear this morning is just amazing truth that can really be the deal breaker in our life. Help us to be women who think biblically. We learn what the Bible says, and we believe it, and we think it. And so this morning, speak very personally into our lives, I pray. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we have been studying 1 John, and I lost my book this week. I have no idea where it is. I'm going to have to order another one, I guess, because I thought it might be in here, but I didn't see it. Do y'all have problems keeping up with stuff? I have problems. The older I get, the harder it gets. But 1 John is just a wonderful little epistle. An epistle is just a letter. It's a letter that John has written. It has a very clear-cut purpose. He gives it to us in chapter 5, verse 13. Look at it on your handout. Here's why he wrote this little letter to them. He says very plainly, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And this little letter was given for the purpose of providing assurance for these believers who were receiving the letter. It's a very basic letter. It's a very simple letter. And this morning we're beginning our very last chapter in this little letter, chapter 5. And there are so many titles given to Christians in the New Testament. So we're going to start out this morning. I put on your handout 10 blanks. And I want you around your table to come up with 10 names that the Bible gives to Christians. Now, I know it's early. You're going to have to wake up your mind. Y'all talk it out. If you're by yourself at a table, join another table and see if you can come up with 10. I'm going to give you 1 minute. So go. Y'all are right, and I see a lot of people right. Hey, Stace, good morning.
Oh, that's what I meant.
All right, let's stop. How many did you come up with? Did anybody get 10? Any table? Oh, this table at the back got 10. Sort of, kind of? All right, good. Well, let me just give you a few names that I came up with and see, and then if you have something different, let me know. Obviously, the most familiar name is Christian. And the word Christian means little Christ. Little Christ. That was first given to believers in Antioch. And that really is the most familiar. And another would be believers. We're children of God, children of light, children of the day, children of obedience. We're called the faithful. We're the friends of Jesus. We're the brothers and sisters. Or you could just say we're the family of God. We're called sheep. We're called saints, holy ones, soldiers, witnesses, stewards, fellow citizens, lights in the world, the elect of God, the chosen, royal ambassadors, servants, disciples, heirs, joint heirs, branches in the vine, members of the body, living stones, living epistles, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the beloved followers, and there are many, many more. Did somebody get something different? But there's one special name that we're going to see that is the theme of our lesson this morning. It's the name Overcomer. So write that down. In 1 John 5, in the first five verses, that is the special name that we find for Christians. Now let's just read the first five verses together. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" The term overcomer is a very descriptive term. It has two synonyms that I want you to put on your handout. One would be victors. And then a more contemporary one would just be winners. We're the winners. I like that. Let's begin with the definition of this concept to start our lesson. Let's define overcomer. Well, the Greek word is a very familiar word for us. It's the word Nike. We know that word, don't we? Nike, N-I-K-E. So put that on your handout. And in the Greek language, Nike, which is, of course, a brand name for tennis shoes, and this is why they picked this name, it's because in the Greek it means to conquer or to win. It means to defeat or to gain victory. And the Greeks just love this word. They actually had a goddess by the name of Nike. She was the goddess of victory, the goddess of triumph. But the Greeks actually believed that victory could only be achieved by the gods. Never could humankind be completely victorious. And so in the background of this letter that John is writing in these ancient times, it would have been a pretty stunning thing to say that Christians are overcomers. That would have been an amazing thing to say, that Christians were unconquerable. This is a word that Jesus himself used in John 16:33. Look at it on your handout. He says, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage because I'm an overcomer. I've overcome the world." He's a victor. And Paul writes amazing truth in Romans chapter 8, which probably is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. Look at verse 37. "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Paul says, you're not just an overcomer. You're not just Nike. You are Hooper Nike. Overwhelmingly Nike. That means you are invincible. You are unconquerable. You are the ultimate conqueror or overcomer. So much so that let's read what else he says. Look at verse 38. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, when Paul spoke of us being victorious, it wasn't just victory, it was super victory. Now, stop. Do you find it hard when you think of yourself as a Christian woman? Do you think of yourself as a super conqueror? Do you? Well, you are. Teresa, how do you know? Because that is exactly what the Bible says. Now, ladies, either the Bible is true or it's not. Is it true? It is true. And if the Bible says we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us, that means you are a Hooper Nike. You are a super conqueror. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. I knew this would be a low crowd this morning because I feel like some of my best lessons are the lowest crowds. I don't mean this is a great lesson. I just mean the truth of it is so good. As far as you living a victorious life, you know, that is what God wills for us. Now, when did I become a super conqueror, Teresa? Well, you did when you were saved, when you were born of God. That is when you became a super conqueror. What am I victorious over? Well, I want you to write down. First of all, we're just going to mention this. So much I could say, but I don't have time. We are victorious over Satan. So write that down. Now, this is amazing, ladies. I love what Revelation 12:11 tells us. It tells us that Christians they overcame him, speaking of Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They were overcomers. You're an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Yes, Satan is still moving. He's still being allowed some sort of ability in the world. But he's got conquered, though. Yeah, he tries to mess with you. But I'll tell you something this morning. If you would learn the truth that you are a Hooper Nike, it would make a lot of difference in your life, in how you think. And thinking is everything. And learning to believe the Word of God and think the Word of God makes all the difference in my life. Let's see something else we're victorious over. Write it down. We're victorious over death. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:54. "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" You see, the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is in the law, but thanks be to God that gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you were born again, the blood of Christ covered your sin. Past, present, future. And you are now placed in Christ. And when God looks at you, he looks at you through the blood of Christ, and his righteousness has been imputed to you. That's how you can enter boldly into his throne room and pray anytime you want to. Come boldly. Come instantly. Come. You can come. You have access to God because of the blood of Christ. And then thirdly, we're victorious over the world. So put that down. And I think this is where the biggest problem comes with us as Christians. And for this, we're going to go to verse 4 of this chapter. And it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." When you were saved, before you were saved, you were just living in the world. You were under the influence of the world. You were controlled by the world. But when you got saved, you were taken out of the kingdom of darkness in the world, and you were placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. And you know what happened? This happened with me. See if it happened with you. The world began to lose its attraction. Before, it ruled me. But when I was born again, it began to fade away and lose its attraction. Now, the Bible says you can't go out of the world, can you? Because we're in our bodies, and obviously we have to live in this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. That's what the Bible says. You see, the Holy Spirit moved in at salvation, and it changed your wanter. The world's allurements don't pull at your heart like they used to. And that's because you've been drawn now to a new love for Christ that was planted in you when you were born again. Now your desire is to follow him, to grow in Christ's likeness. He's your king. You're no longer under the king of this world, and you don't love this world. And another thing you should know, don't be surprised if the world hates you. That's a very true thing that's going to happen, because it's going to perceive you as its enemy if you have allegiance to the Christ and to his righteousness. This world opposes righteousness. Now here's another thing to note. This victory that is ours, that was given to us in the new birth, it's not a victory that's very fragile. No, no, no. It's not that you just barely eat by. No, no, no. You didn't just win by 1 point in overtime at the buzzer. No, no, no. The Bible speaks of us as overcomers, super overcomers. We are the reigning champions, and the championship which has been won for us in Christ is a forever championship. Now, look at chapter 5, verse 4 again. It says that we have overcome the world. Now, Teresa, exactly explain to me what you mean by the word world. What exactly have I overcome? I'm not speaking about the creation, the physical world. No, no, no. Let's write down some things. I'm speaking about the fact that we have overcome the invisible spiritual system of evil that is in this world. Do you realize there's a whole system of evil? Of course you do. Sometimes I'm just so surprised by the world. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're just out of their mind. How is this, all this stuff happening? Well, it's a whole system. It's a very organized system. It's a very planned system of evil. And by the way, write this down. It is a system that is opposed to God. It's in opposition to God. And It is dominated by Satan. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is called in Scripture the ruler of this world. Write this down. It is a world that is dominated by these things: fleshly ambition, pride, greed, self, pleasure, lust, desire, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All of those things, they are the marks of this system. And then write this down. It's a system that is ignorant of God. In fact, it's in open rebellion to God. And it's run by Satan. And then write this down. It is set up right here on this earth. And John says, whatever is born of God has overcome the world. Now, just think of what I just described to you. Another thing about this verse 4 is it's in the present tense in the Greek, which means this: you are the one habitually overcoming the world. You are the one that is permanently, ongoing, triumphant. You can never lose. It can never be taken away from you. Now, I have to say this because you're thinking it. Because you know what? We really mess up, don't we? All the time. I mean, I don't always feel like an overcomer. I'll just be honest with you. Because I fail and I fall victim to the enticements of the world as I'm living my life on this side of heaven. But even though you lose some skirmishes in this life, even so, I'm telling you this morning, the war has been won and the victory is ours, and it is a settled fact forever. So put that on your handout. It is a settled fact forever. I don't care if you mess up. You confess. You get forgiven. And you get back in the battle. You're an overcomer. And even though we are still in the world, we don't love the world. And that is because we've been born of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is in us, and He's driving us toward the love of God, the love of His Word, and the love for obedience. Our hearts are not in this world because our citizenship is in heaven, where our Father is, where Jesus is, where our name is written, where our room is being prepared for us. That's where we're headed. Teresa, can you describe yourself to me this morning? Well, I sure can. I'm an overcomer. I'm a super overcomer. And I'm an overcomer today. I'm an overcomer right now. I'm an overcomer by the Bible's definition. I'm not boasting in myself. I'm boasting in who my Savior is. And even though Satan, the world, illness, and even death itself threaten me all the time, there's no need to let them overwhelm me or to distress me or to cause me anxiety or concern. They're only temporary enemies because in Christ the victory is mine. And there's coming a day when I'm going to enter into that victory fully and be given an inheritance. Teresa, I like the sound of being an overcomer. Oh, I hope it's true. I hope it's true for me. How can I know for sure it's true? How can I know I'm an overcomer? And that's why I say this is so important for us to get a grip on this concept. Because I can't think of anything more wonderful in your Christian life than knowing for certain that you are an overcomer in Christ and living your life with that knowledge that Satan, the world, and death can never defeat you. Your sins have been paid for. And even though I still mess up, and even though I sin very frequently, how can you know that you've conquered all of that? How can you confidently say you're an overcomer? Well, first of all, write this on your handout. You can say it because the Bible tells you so. That the devil and the flesh and the sin are all conquered in Christ. I just think this is such a thrilling, thrilling concept. I think it's a deal breaker. If you can learn this. This is why studying your Bibles is so important. All of this rich truth is there for us. But we've got to get in there and mind the depths of it. And we've got to embrace it and believe it and live in the light of it. It just humbles me so much to think about myself as an overcomer, because I don't deserve to be an overcomer, do you? But it's given to us in Christ. It is a positional truth. It doesn't matter if I feel it. If the Bible says it's so, it's so. Have you learned to live your life on the fact that the Bible is the Word of God and you can take it to the bank? You are an overcomer. Would it help if I just stood on my head and said it? You are an overcomer this morning. Start telling yourself that. In Christ, I'm an overcomer. Now write on your handout, we said because the Bible tells me so, and then write this. This is a positional truth. I'm in Christ. Where is Christ right now? He's seated at the right hand of God. And I'm in Him, and what He says about me is true. Even though I'm presently in my body on this earth, positionally, I am a super overcomer. Teresa, I sure don't see this on a day-to-day basis in my life. I mean, I don't feel like I'm superwoman with some kind of supernatural spiritual invincibility. I mean, it feels even wrong for me to say or think of myself in that way, but I really do like the sound of it. What is it that assures me that I'm an overcomer? Surely I think we would all understand that to be put into the category of an overcomer would only be true because of God's amazing grace. Amen? It would be only because there is this righteousness, not of my own, that has been given to me as a gift in Christ. It would be only because God in His mercy has decided to make me a super overcomer. And it would be in spite of what I am, certainly not because of anything in my own doing. And so once again I say, either the Bible is true or it's not. Either I am an overcomer in Christ or I'm not. Now, what is it with you this morning? How can I know this is true? Well, you won't be surprised that John is going to come along in this letter and he's going to say to us, there are some ways that you can look at your life and you can find some evidence in your living that will help you have confidence and know that you're an overcomer. And he's going to give us three ways that we can test ourselves to see if these three things are true in my life. And then I'm going to say, yes, those are true in my life. And then I'm going to know, yes, I am an overcomer. Now, these three things aren't very surprising because they are actually the same three things that we've been seeing cycled over and over in this letter. But let's write them down, and this will be our lesson for next week. The first thing we're looking for that we're going to discuss next week would be faith in the truth. Overcomers are women of faith. And then the next thing would be if we have love to God and to others. Because overcomers love God and overcomers love others. And then the third thing we're going to talk about would be obedience to God's word. Because genuine overcomers who are in Christ Jesus are women who are obedient to God's word. Now, he's weaving these three things together again for us in this letter. And so next week, we're going to look at that in detail. Now, let's take a break, and I want you to turn to page 60 in your book. We haven't actually gotten into our scripture, but he pulls out a portion of scripture out of the Gospel of John. And so let's go over those questions. The scripture is actually on page 59, and the questions are on page 60. Take time around your table, go over those questions, and then I'll come back up and close us in prayer. I said that wrong. The scripture is on page 60. The questions are on page 61. All right, ladies, let me close us in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father, you have been so very gracious to us in all of your word and all of the wonderful promises that you give us. You've saved us with this eternal salvation. You love us with an everlasting love. You've given us unceasing grace and mercy. We just thank you, Father, for all of your blessings. And now this morning we find out we're super overcomers. This is a fact stated in the Bible. Even though we're in warfare, we can know, bottom line, you have caused us to be victorious. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that you will just bring this to remembrance in our thoughts this week. Help us to rehearse the truth in our minds. Help us to speak to ourselves your word and to think biblically. And then bring us back next week, Father, as we study now these three things that we're going to be looking at. And I just pray your blessing on this group of women and on their families. May we be women who followed you with all of our hearts. May you use us as mighty weapons in your hand to stand in this generation for your truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.
Did we go to the next chapter in the book?
No, you're still in this chapter 7 for next week.